Space, the final frontier.
These are the voyages of the Starship Enterprise. Its continuing mission, to explore strange new worlds.
Boldly go where no man has gone before.
Engage.
Engage. Kirk Enterprise, Enterprise.
This is Captain Jean-Luc Picard.
Captain Janeway.
Captain Sisko.
Red alert.
Photon torpedoes, fire.
The official Star Trek podcast.
Engage. Engage.
Make it so.
With your host, Jordan Hoffman.
That, sir, is illogical.
And to make sure, history never forgets.
This is Engage.
Hailing frequencies open, sir.
Whoa, can you feel it? Can you feel the energy? Boom, ba, boom, ba, boom, ba, boom, ba, boom. I love that intro. I love it. I love it more than the opening theme to Star Trek Enterprise, and I love that a lot too. Hey, welcome to Engage, the official Star Trek podcast. Welcome to
Engage,
the official Star Trek podcast. I am Jordan Hoffman. I'm thrilled. I'm over the moon, to use a celestial term, thrilled to be your host for this, the first episode of the first season. It's very new. We're making it up as we go. Believe me, we're making it up as we go. Of the official Star Trek podcast. We're here on Deck 44, as I like to call it, of a big building somewhere on, we're in the system of Sol. On the third planet, in a city called New York, somewhere in the middle of an island called Manhattan, on the 44th floor, deck 40 floor of Sol 3. That's where we are. And this is really the most exciting time to be a Star Trek fan in about 20 years. 20 years ago or so, there was a moment where you had Star Trek The Next Generation films being produced. You had a new show called Voyager coming out, and you had Deep Space Nine deep in the Dominion War arc. These were halcyon days. We said, will we ever see a time as exciting as this? And the answer is, right now, is pretty damn good. It's the 50th anniversary of Star Trek. The third of the new film series, the alternative reality series, is coming out in July. And next January, on CBS All Access, a new Star Trek show that we know very little about. Okay, I know a lot about it, but I'm not allowed to tell you. But later, when nobody's listening, I'll tell you. But for now, I got to say that it's just all very new, and it's all very exciting. And it's really incredible. I mean, I think the new film is really going to be good. You know, we just saw the new trailer, which I thought was dynamite. There was that special event in Los Angeles where they dedicated one of the streets on the Paramount lot. They called it Leonard Nimoy Way, which was a real classy move. The new show, Brian Fuller, is in the captain's chair. I think it's a great choice. Nicholas Meyer is also at his side. Everything that we know about the creative team on that one is pretty exciting. And this show, Engage, is really it's two things. It's celebrating Star Trek with fans that maybe were watching on September 8th, 1966 and have been fans forever and read the books, read the comics, go to conventions. And it's also for people who are maybe going to watch Star Trek for the first time next January, that have heard about it, that are maybe fans of other things in sci-fi, fantasy, and they're like, well, you know, I know Star Trek is this big thing, but I don't know where to get. There's so many shows, there's movies, there's Captain Kirk is this guy, Captain Kirk is that guy, what do I do? We're here to help you out. We want to engage with you. We want to
engage
with you. And it's a show for everybody. So we're going to have special guests as the new show next January starts ramping up. We're going to be involved with that. But we're also going to be talking about Star Trek things that are happening throughout the year. This is the 50th anniversary year. In September of this year is the 50th anniversary. At 8:30 p.m. on September 8th, 1966, the Mantrap aired. And starting now, there's 50th anniversary excitement happening. There's so much going on right now that you may not even be aware of. Right now, if you live in Seattle or if you have access to a vehicle that will get you to Seattle, or if you like walking and there's no body of water separating you from Seattle, you can go to, no, you, even if you can swim, you could walk up to the body of water and then swim and then walk out of the body of water and continue on to Seattle and go to the EMP Museum, where there is an amazing exhibit, which is an interactive, fun exhibit with props and replicas and all kinds of groovy stuff about Star Trek's influence on pop culture. And that's happening now. Also in Ottawa, which is in a land to the north, north of the wall, Ottawa, Canada, there is a Starfleet Academy experience. And later this summer, very soon, a similar experience on the USS Intrepid, which is an actual aircraft carrier in New York, in my city. Does your city have an aircraft carrier? Brian, does your city have an aircraft carrier?
Well, New York's my city, too, so.
I heard a rumor that you live in New Jersey.
All right. I'm from New York, originally. So, I'm in Jersey now.
Ladies and gentlemen, that's Brian. Brian was very involved in making the intro that we heard earlier.
Well, yes. I had some creative input into it. Not too much, but.
All right. Well, it sounds great. It's very energetic. New York City has a war machine in its river. It's called the USS Intrepid. Now, it's cool. It's a decommissioned aircraft carrier, and it's got all kinds of cool stuff on it. It's got jets and you know what it has on it? At least it did. I think it still does. It has a Concorde jet, which was a commercial liner that would go at supersonic speed. You can get from New York to Paris in like 2.5 hours.
Wow.
Yeah. This is no joke. So they had one there. Anyhow, they do special events periodically. This summer, they're doing all Star Trek. And there are a number of things happening. Number one, they're going to show some of the films under the stars. I'm going to be there. Nick Meyer's going to be there for Wrath of Khan. That's number one. Number two, there's going to be this exhibit, the Starfleet Academy Experience, which is going to be interactive and cool. But then there's another thing where they're going to have like a... I apologize for not knowing what it's called off the top of my head. I guess it doesn't matter. But they're going to have like a docent who's going to show you around the actual Intrepid as if you were from Starfleet. It's very high concept. You just got to roll with it. You just got to try. So come to New York. You got to come to New York anyhow. What are you doing not being in New York? Show up in New York for the summer. It's great in the summer. It's so disgusting. Everybody is sweaty and gross and horrible. I love New York in the summertime. It's wonderful. So that's what's happening. There's other things happening. San Diego Comic-Con. We're going to have a big presence at San Diego Comic-Con. At the Smithsonian, something that used to be around is coming back. We'll talk more about that later. There's going to be a thing called Trek Talks happening in San Diego, in Las Vegas, in New York, where experts from the field of real science are going to talk about science fiction and Star Trek and the interaction thereof. Do you know that in Canada right now, you can pay for something with an actual Star Trek coin? There are legal Star Trek coins now. I'm not joking. This is, what, Canada, man. I mean, first of all, they got health care. So you don't even have to pay the doctor with the Star Trek coin. You can keep it. How about that? And later this year, and I think I'm allowed to say this. Oh, boy, I hope I am. There are going to be stamps in America. Star Trek stamps. We can say it. I can see you're panicked. I know. I'm 98% sure I'm allowed to say that. There are some things I'm not allowed. It's very foolish. You know, the people at... in CBS marketing, they give me a list of cool things that are happening for Star Trek this year, and then some of them have what's called an embargo date. I'm not allowed to say, and it's like, oh my god, how am I supposed to remember which is which? Because I get very excited about that. Conventions in Vegas, the biggie every year. Convention in New York in September. There has not been a Star Trek convention in New York for like 20 years. And that's where the first Star Trek convention was. Also a convention in Manchester, England in October. And also I mentioned the event that's happening in Ottawa and on the Intrepid, a similar one in Blackpool, England this year also. That's tip of the iceberg for what's happening for Star Trek 50th anniversary this year. There's also an art show exhibit, and you know, for 50 years they got 50 different artists to do these beautiful prints of various inspired by Star Trek stuff. Also, you know what else is happening for the 50th anniversary? We have launched the first ever official Star Trek podcast. Red alert, because it's very exciting, and that's what we're doing here. So listen, we're going to get to our first guest in a moment. Now that I've introduced myself, and I'm going to get into more autobiographical stuff about who the hell am I. Who is this guy talking about Star Trek? What makes him such an expert? I've been writing about Star Trek on the internet for a long time, for over a decade. I'm also a film critic. Maybe you read my stuff on the internet or even in the newspaper sometimes. But I am a Star Trek fan really since I was... it's funny, because the first time I saw Star Trek... the first time I actually was in the same room as something Star Trek that I know, it was, I fell asleep. But it wasn't my fault. I was a little kid, and it was 1979. I was very young. I'm old, but I'm not that old. And it's a very quick story. I'll tell it to you real quick. I grew up in New Jersey, but my... Here, I was mocking Brian before. Now you know the truth. Now you know why I was scorning you.
Because now the tables have turned.
I, too, are from New Jersey. Oh, it's like something's been revealed. It's like that scene in Journey to Babel when you find out that the Andorian is really an Orion. I grew up in Jersey, and over a Christmas break in 1979, I'm like 4 years old, my parents decided to... for a Christmas break, we were just going to go into New York as tourists, which actually is a smart thing to do. If you've got little kids and you're from New Jersey, you go to New York because if something goes wrong, you just get back early and it's not a problem. So we're wandering around and we're going to see the Christmas tree in Rockefeller Center and whatnot. And I see the poster for Star Trek the Motion Picture, which I still believe is one of the most beautiful posters of all time. And I become obsessed with that poster. I want to go see that movie. My parents are like, no, we're not taking you to see Star Trek. I'm like, no, I'm going to see it. I become a big whiner. And we actually did go. Now, it was cold. We're walking around in Manhattan all day looking at shops. My mother's going to Saks Fifth Avenue or whatever. And, when you're out in the cold all day and then you go inside, your face gets red and you get sleepy. Star Trek the Motion Picture, I will defend this movie, and one day we'll do a show just about Star Trek the Motion Picture and how I love it. But it is, as many people call it, Star Trek the motionless picture. It can be a little bit, it is a little on the slow side, a cerebral film, if you will. So anyway, the long story short is I whine and complain, take me to see this movie. We get inside, the movie starts, I fall asleep. But then a few years later, I become a tremendous fan and have been since. I was getting into TOS in the mid-80s, I saw Star Trek 3 in the theater and Star Trek 4 in the theater. Really knocked some sense into me. Star Trek 4 was the one that really turned me into a fan. Then I started watching the reruns, and then boom, Next Generation starts, and I'm in from Encounter at Farpoint. So it's just a home run from there. And that's, in a nutshell, what my story is. Now, a couple of days ago, Weird Al Yankovic was here, and we're putting the podcast together. We're getting, you know, everybody's notes, and you know, we sit in these meeting rooms and everybody's showing off how they're making the little icon for the Facebook page, and you know, the people are figuring out how to market the thing, and I sit there and go, yes, good job everyone, good job. And then a woman, Heather, you're going to learn about Heather eventually, Heather's very important to this show. Heather says, look, I can get us Weird Al. I'm like, holy cats, you can get us Weird Al? Yeah, we want him for the show. But he's only available like now because he's in town. He's about to hit the road. He's about to go on tour. So I said, oh, let's talk to him now and record it. And through the magic of podcast technology, we can pretend that he's in the studio. But I want to make something clear to you before we talk to Weird Al. I will never lie to you. I will never lie to my audience. Never. I'm an honorable man. Like our captains. I am not Garrick. I do not believe that the ends justify the means. I believe in honesty. I don't believe in a no-win scenario. So we're going to go back in time a few weeks. The interview you're about to hear is a couple weeks old, but it's still fresh. And it's still new. And I think it's funny. But more importantly, you're going to find out something very important. I want you to sit down because this is important. Why has Weird Al Yankovic made many Star Wars songs? Yoda, he did one for Anakin, right? He's done a bunch. Why has he never done a Star Trek song? Do you think that I had the sand to look Weird Al in the eye and ask him? Well, I do. And I did. But I did it in a very polite way. And he gave me a very good answer. So I want you to listen. We're going to beam out. And Scotty, let's energize. Do I have a button for energize?
We do have a button for energize.
Yeah, hold on, hold on. So Captain Picard is going to energize us. And then we're going to beam out. We're going to get a TNG energized from Captain Picard. And a TOS transporter sound. Because we mix it all up here in the show. That's what I like. And so we're going to hear from Weird Al, and then we're going to be right back.
Energize. Space.
Oh, shh.
The final frontier.
Brian, I hit the wrong button.
Okay.
Let's do it again. No, keep rolling.
We don't need to because I can just move the sound.
No. warts and all. Are we still rolling?
Yes.
My friends out there in the podcast land, I want to let you know something. I have been handed a big box. I don't know what is the jargon for this?
This is a very old piece of equipment that Howard Stern used to use.
But what is it called? It's called the deck, the box, the
I have no idea. All actually,
right. it's a big gray thing that's sitting in front of me, and it has 50 buttons on it, and I have a piece of paper. And listen, Brian did a terrific job. He got 50 pieces of Star Trek sound. On this thing, and I've just been handed it. So I hit what I just did was I hit the wrong button. We're still in the academy here. We have not left space dock. This is episode one. So we're gonna do that again, right? Okay. I just told you that we spoke to Weird Al Yankovic a few weeks ago, and it's a really fun interview, and I think you're gonna like it. We're gonna talk about his love of pop culture, what he's doing this summer. He's got a cool tour. So what we're gonna do is Captain Picard is going to suggest that we energize, and then we're going to beam over. Let's listen to our interview with Weird Al.
Engage.
I can't believe it. I hit the wrong button again. 18. They both start with E. Okay, so let's... Here. All right, we got it now. This is good. Okay, so let's go back a few weeks and listen to our interview with Weird Al Yankovic.
Energize.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
This is Engage.
Engage.
The official Star Trek podcast.
Energize.
And we're back. We just traveled through space-time 2 weeks, 2.5 weeks... Because when we're doing a podcast about one of the most fundamental and exciting pop culture events of all time, which is Star Trek, and the opportunity to speak to a mainstay of our pop culture comes in the building to the 44th floor, to Deck 44, as I like to call it, we don't pass the opportunity up. So even though we're 2 weeks in the past, we're 2 weeks in the future, Weird Al Yankovic is here.
Hey, how are you?
In our room. And I'm very excited. Weird Al. I mean, I've been a Weird Al fan forever. Is it okay if I call you Weird? I don't want to be...
Let's go with Al today.
Do people call you... I mean...
Yeah, they always think they're being very funny.
Right. Because I don't want to pass judgment. Who am I to call you Weird?
I'm not really on a first adjective basis with anybody.
When people see you on the street, they shout out Weird Al, and you don't say, no, that's the weirdness is on stage.
Well, no, Weird Al is fine, but just Weird.
Just Weird. Yeah. Okay, fair enough. Well, you know, as I mentioned before, it is a great time to be a Star Trek fan because there's so much stuff happening in the world of Star Trek, but it is also a great time to be a Weird Al fan and probably to be a Weird Al also. I mean,
I'm enjoying this.
But there's a lot going on in the world of weirdness right now. And I want to talk about that before we talk a little bit about Star Trek.
Okay.
But I looked at the list of what you've got planned for 2016, and there's a lot going on. But there's three things in particular I want to talk about.
Okay.
Number one, and this is in no order, This is an ascending order.
Okay.
As you can hear.
This is crazy.
One thing I want to talk about. There are some Weird Al action figures.
They started coming out. The first couple were shipped directly to my house this week, and I Instagrammed those immediately. But and somebody just recently came up to me today in a building with a Weird Al action figure. So I think they're escaping from
so
Nika.
Clearly, the only ones weren't the ones in your house because they somebody else.
Yeah, somebody probably stole them from my house. now they're out here. They're coming out. Nika's putting them out. Is that the way to pronounce it, or?
Yeah.
I wanted to.
No, it is. Yeah, I have it on authority. That
okay,
it is,
that's
yeah.
good to know. They're putting it out. There's not like an official release date because it doesn't get released like a record or a movie. Sort of like right. It'll kind of like get out there eventually right. during this month.
You're strolling around the Toys R Us and go, oh, there's a Weird Al thing over there. I gotta buy that.
It's kind of cool because they couldn't decide whether to do like the current look Weird Al or the iconic '80s look Weird Al. With the mustache and the wireframe glasses. They did both. They did, like, the removable head. You get two heads for the price of one.
That's the thing that the the post office should have done when they had the Elvis stamps.
Oh, yes.
And they did the voting.
Uh-huh.
They should have just given us both options from the get-go.
It should have been one of those, what do they call it, where you it's like not 3D, but you look at it from a different angle and it's a different thing.
A lenticular?
Very good. Yeah. Thank you.
So what you're telling me is so there's, when you say classic Weird Al, it's the glasses, it's the probably a floral shirt of some sort?
It's sort of a floral Hawaiian-ish shirt. From memory, I believe it's just like with like music notes on it.
Oh, yeah. Sure. Okay, cool. So that would be the one that, no offense, that would be the one I would play. I mean, you're a gorgeous man right now, but I would probably play more action figure games with the classic Al. And then for special events, I would dress you up like you dress now. You know, if I'm going out to dinner somewhere.
There you go. The formal Al look.
Now, will there be like peripherals? Like, will there be cars, that Weird Al cars?
Well, it comes with an accordion, like a little accordion. And it's a pretty good looking little accordion. I mean, they got like the right number of keys and buttons and everything else. And it's like, oh, wow, they pay attention to detail there.
Quality control.
Very
I like
nice.
That.
Yeah.
All
and
right,
a little
cool.
little microphone and a spare hand, which I'm not exactly sure what that's for, but that's part of it as well.
Listen, whatever anybody wants to do is, you know, if they're buying it, they can do what they want with it, right?
And this is just the first thing. I mean, hopefully it'll sell well, and they're planning on releasing several more various iterations of me with different costumes and different characters.
Awesome.
And that'll all happen in the next couple of years, I guess.
Well, that's very exciting. I mean, it's not every one of us that gets their own toy, so God bless.
Well, thanks.
And available in stores at some point during the summer, probably, and this summer.
And online as well, I guess. Yeah.
Right. On WeirdAl.com, probably?
We probably are. If not, there'll be a link, and Nika will obviously be selling directly.
Right. Because this summer, and this is not new for you, for Weird Al to hit the road, but you were doing a summer tour that is no joke. Now, let's say you're somebody who, you know, doesn't really follow you as closely as they should. You know, maybe thinks about, you know, you do a TV appearance. Oh, I love that guy. I'd love to catch him live someday.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very simple thing to do. You are doing 76.
Something like that. It's
76.
I'm going to say 80-ish.
According to this note.
Okay, all
76.
Right. All right, we'll go with that then.
Every city in America crisscrossing the north, the south, the east, the west, everywhere, nonstop, pretty much all summer. And when this, because I said we're 2 weeks ago, tonight, this is freaky, right? You know where you are now.
Yes.
Now you're
barely.
In New York.
Yes.
Right? But when this is being heard for the first time, you are in, drum roll, Louisville, Kentucky.
Ooh.
At the Iroquois Amphitheater. But then tomorrow night, this is no joke, you're at the Grand Ole Opry.
That's right. I'm playing the Grand Ole Opry.
June 16th. I mean, this is what's great. I'm looking at these dates now. You're playing, in New York, you're playing Radio City.
Yes.
6,000 seats.
That'll be amazing. Yeah.
That's a lot of people.
Yeah.
A lot of people singing along. In Hollywood, you're playing the Hollywood Bowl.
Yeah, that's 18,000 seats.
Is it really 18,000?
And I'm doing two nights there, so that's just insane.
Oh, my God.
But the coolest thing about the Hollywood Bowl gig is I'm playing with the orchestra, so they're arranging my whole show with the Hollywood Bowl orchestra, which is crazy. I can't even wait for that.
How will you do the polka numbers with the...
They're doing it with like live horn sections. It's going to be great.
And your show is no joke. I mean, there's a dance element to it. You bring dancers out sometimes.
Yeah, I don't think. No, well, not so much. I mean,
I've seen some clips online where dancers show up.
I flop around. I don't know if that's considered dancing or not.
But there was a video projection angle. I mean, you have in between songs.
Yeah,
a collection of clips from.
We have to do that because you know there's so many costume changes in the show, and I can't spontaneously change into a costume. So we have to have like little comedy bits on the big screen to amuse people for the minute or minute and a half or how long it takes for me to like.
You definitely
backstage.
Can't change on stage at the Grand Ole Opry. That would be a problem.
Yes, they have rules about that.
But here's what's great. Now listen, all those shows sound dynamite, but if I were to go to one of these shows, I mean, Hollywood Bowl is probably very exciting, and Radio City, these are all great, but on July 1st, you were going to be, I hope you know about this, at the Toledo Zoo Amphitheater.
Yes, absolutely.
And I could think of no more wonderful, just a buoyant and joyous place to see the Weird Al show, in addition to, I mean, Hollywood Bowl, Radio City, but the Toledo Zoo. I just have an image of like the giraffes in the background kind of swaying along. And
the Toledo Zoo is great. I've played there before. In fact, I shouldn't swear to this, but I'm pretty sure that there's a little clip that I put on my YouTube channel, which was shot at the Toledo Zoo. It's called Weird Al Shreds. And I don't know if you've seen this. It's me on stage with a shredder, and I'm shredding paper. And then the camera pans around to the audience, and they're like, yeah!
That's hilarious. Well, I mean, you know, 76 dates, you don't really get a lot of time to...
No.
When you've,
there's no breaks. It's just like straight on through. You know, we tried to do, you know, in the past we've tried concert tours where we would have breaks. Like we do 3 or 4 weeks and then go back home and have a little bit of time off. And we found that we were not really making any money on those tours because while we're on break, like nobody else is on break. Like we're still paying for the trucks and the buses and everybody else's salaries. And it's sort of like, okay, well, that didn't work out.
So you're going to hit the road, you got to do it. But I mean, so when you come into a town like Houston, Texas, you don't really get a chance to walk around and do a sightseeing tour. You do a sound check.
Not so much,
do the show, and then the next night you're in Austin, Texas.
And also, I really, you know, take pains to reserve my energy and try to preserve my health because, you know, it's a 4-month tour and I just can't allow myself to get sick. I can't allow myself to, like, get worn down. And so it's like I just spend a lot of time. I sleep as much as I can. I spend time indoors, like, you know, watching satellite TV or surfing online. And I just don't, like, head out and do a lot of local sightseeing.
Wow. Do you prefer the outdoor venues or the indoor venues?
I like them both. It really depends on the audience and things like that. You know, if... I prefer, if it's an outdoor venue, I prefer that it be a nighttime show because, you know, films are a big part of it. And you can see the LED screen in the daytime, but it's not as effective. It's not as rock and roll if it's not dark.
You're also doing Sturgis, South Dakota. That's
the motorcycle rally.
I'm thinking of like, what are those called? The Venn diagram of Weird Al fans and Harley fanatics.
No idea. I guess we'll find out pretty quickly. That was an interesting booking, and they seem to think it'll work, and I'll have to take their word for it, and we'll see if it does.
That's August 13th. Keep your eyes peeled for August 14th. If anything viral happens on the internet, that'll be the day it would break. Yeah. Well, that's cool. I hope that the day you're at the Toledo Zoo, they do the soundtrack early. You get a little time to walk around and, you know, pet the goats or something like that.
Yeah, pet an alpaca or something.
Who knows? So, but this is just one amazing thing you're doing this summer. You also, turn the page.
Right. Ooh.
You also.
Dramatic.
You have a new gig. This is I don't know which you consider the day gig and which is the evening gig, but you are now a television star again as the band, what do they call it, the band leader, the musical director?
Band leader/co-host.
The co-host/band leader of Scott Aukerman's Comedy Bang Bang on IFC. IFC,
yeah.
Right. Debuting, by the time this airs, it already debuted, early June. I watched 12 and a half minutes of the first episode. I would have watched the whole thing if I had the opportunity to. Trust me, I was riveted, but it was just due to the circumstances. It was awesome.
Well, thanks, man.
It was great. I mean, you're taking over. I mean, there have been great band leaders in the past. Yeah,
Reggie Watts did the first 4 seasons. He did the first 70 episodes.
Wow.
And then Kid Cudi came in and did the last 20, and I'm doing this season, which is another 20. So during my reign on season 5, we will have our 100th episode.
Oh, no joke. Yeah. Okay, cool. So they're all already shot.
They are. Yeah, we wrap them up, and they're being edited as we speak. And
right.
Yeah, it's gonna. Well, as of this airing, it will have already premiered.
Whoa!
And it'll
so much time
it's
travel.
It's crazy, isn't it?
So much time travel.
But they're airing airing them back. When is this airing again? Sorry.
This interview that
this
we're
interview
doing
that
right now.
Well, as I'm speaking, when are people hearing this?
But that's what's amazing. This is a podcast. So after the nuclear destruction and we're all dead, this recording will still exist.
Okay.
So, but technically, we are mid-June is our launch.
So you'll still be able to see most of the first 10 episodes. It's Friday nights, and they're doing them back-to-back. So every Friday night at 11 o'clock, I believe it is, they're doing two brand-new episodes, one after the other.
So if you just can't get off the couch and you're just stuck in the zone, it's just rolling them all.
Don't even get off the couch. Just let it keep flowing past you.
Order some buffalo wings and just keep going. But it's funny stuff because it's yes, you're the band leader, you're playing in, you know, the intros and outros, but you're part of the show. You're goofing around with the cast. I saw you with Kevin Bacon.
Yes, the first one.
It was very intense.
He was great, wasn't he? I mean, obviously he's a great actor, but I mean, he really kind of really locked into the whole sensibility of the show. I think the show is really strange, and he had no problem going there.
And this show is not too strange for fans of yours. It's got an Al TV vibe. I mean, there's a lot of, I mean, I don't want to cause a rift between you and the comedy
bang
people, but there definitely are the seeds of it are from Al TV
bit. Obviously, we have a very similar sensibility, which is why I was very excited to do the show.
Yeah.
But I think I only mean strange in the context of what most of the rest of the world thinks.
Exactly. Those of them who don't have the name weird.
The normals.
The normals. The people who wouldn't. So television, obviously. Now, this podcast is rooted in love for a television show, for a pop culture mainstay, which is Star Trek. So I wanted, now that we have you here, I do want to know from your perspective, because you've been riffing off of pop culture your whole career, and you've done, now that we're friends, I can zing you on this a little bit. You've done a lot of Star Wars stuff.
Well,
there's a song called Yoda.
Uh-huh.
There's no song called Spock.
I haven't gotten around to that yet.
Oh, I like that answer. You haven't gotten around to it. It's not.
You know, I have to say, I almost did a Star Trek song on Mandatory Fun. I was very close to doing it, and then I found out somebody else had done my exact idea, and I was like, oh, I don't want to like rip them off. But I was going to do a parody of Let It Go from Frozen called Make It So. I would have had to really do my Star Trek research and do the full on thing, and I was ready to do it, and then I forget who it was, but somebody else online.
It was I know exactly what you're talking about. Somebody had done I had cut together, you know, some stuff, and they did a piss poor version of what you would have.
Oh,
done.
I wouldn't
you
say that.
You would have given us pure Gold Press Latinum, and they gave us.
It got popular enough that they got an official cease and desist order. So I figured, okay, well, I think that ship has sailed.
They didn't do it the Weird Al way. They didn't get permission first. So okay, so that's a good answer. You've been planning to. You may still at some point.
I may
point
still
do it
at some
again.
Point. Absolutely.
There, a lot of things rhyme with Spock.
That's true.
Anything with rock in it rhymes with Spock.
There you go. Spock around the clock.
Here
we go.
I'll get my guitar out and we can work this out right now. We got a few minutes. Okay, good. So the door is still open. You have not said no. It has just been, your career, it happens organically. You wind up doing this thing. You have a great affection and a love for Star Wars. You do not have a disaffection for Star Trek. You're not anti-Star Trek.
No.
You beamed in here voluntarily.
I'm not one of these, if you like Star Wars, you can't like Star Trek. I'm not one of those people.
Well, so, I mean, you, if I may, you were a sentient young man when the show was first the air. I mean, you were a mere tatala, as my mother would say, but you were a young man growing up in blah, 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 California. Mm-hmm. And then in
Linwood, let's put a name.
Well,
to it.
I didn't know this. That much about you, I didn't know. But you were in Linwood, California.
All right.
And
I went to Suge Knight High School.
Is that right?
Yeah, I did.
Really?
I did.
Well,
me and Fred Gwynn, Herman Munster. So the three of us.
That is you talk about Kirk Spock bones. I think Weird Al. Who would be the Kirk? Who would be the Spock? Suge Knight. Oh man. Okay, cool. So it's 1966.
Yeah.
You're a young man. You got a color TV at home?
Yes, I believe so at that point, yeah.
Okay. And were you aware of the show before it came on? Were you anticipating it, or was it something that just floated into your consciousness?
I was. My only memory was once I kind of got into a little bit of a fight with my parents because I wanted to stay up late enough to watch Star Trek. And I forget when it was on, but it was a little past my bedtime. And I was always thinking, like, just a few minutes more. And I really want to watch Star Trek. And like, no, it's past your bedtime. And I said, I'll forego my allowance this week if you just let me watch Star Trek.
Wow. Okay. That's dedication.
Yeah,
that's
but honestly, I don't remember anything about...
Right. You don't remember the episode or...
I just remember like, oh, it's, you know, it was like just a battle just to stay up late
right,
to watch.
Right. It was more, be honest, you were more excited about staying up than watching the show.
Well, it was both.
50-50.
It was both.
50-50. But then as, you know, then later you're a little older and the show comes back and reruns and it becomes a ubiquitous pop culture thing. Was there a moment where it clicked? I mean, you'd heard about it. You know, yeah. Spock Bones. And then was there a moment when you're watching, hey, I kind of like this. This is kind of fun.
No, I always liked it. I mean, you know, I feel weird being, you know, on the podcast because I don't think I've seen every single episode and I'm not a Star Trek nerd, but I do appreciate and like the show and have an affection for it.
The name of this podcast is called Engage.
Uh-huh.
The reason is we want to engage everyone.
Okay.
Bring them in. Those that are psychotic fans like I am, that's cool. Those that are Trek curious that are not quite fans okay. yet, that maybe only saw the recent movie. We want to embrace them, help them grow.
Good to know.
And those that are in between,
Let me tell you this story. This is embarrassing to admit, but you might appreciate this. And this is probably appropriate for the podcast. I am friends with Brent Spiner. But when I first met, initially he was a close friend of a friend of my wife's. So when I met him for the first time, I didn't realize that he was Data.
Right. Data.
Data. Thank you.
I mean, some would correct. Data is a word for it, but
data, yes.
Canonically,
yes.
I mean,
it didn't click with me. I mean, I'd seen it, but I just didn't know.
Right.
And we're going to Brent's house.
He was just some dude.
For a dinner party. And I'm walking around, and, you know, and I see there's just, like, Star Trek stuff all over the house. Like, there's a Al Hirschfeld picture of the cast of Star Trek, and there's this from Star Trek, and this from Star Trek. And I'm like, man, this guy's really into Star Trek. What's the deal with this guy? And my wife finally said, well, that's Data. I'm like, oh.
Well, he has a different, he doesn't quite look like an android in
yes,
life.
That's,
so,
that's true.
Yeah. I could see the two of you guys being pals. Not that I, you know, not. It just seems like a nice fit. So.
And now he's a very close friend of the family.
Yeah. And he's a musician as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now you do like a medley in your show of like pop hits of the day. That are, you don't do, if correct me if I'm wrong, but you don't do parody lyrically. You just do the song, just polka eyes.
That's right. And for, I think, like 12 out of my 14 albums, something like that, we've had a polka medley, which is like a polka medley of a lot of songs of the day done polka style, the way God intended. and a lot of those songs are songs that I was trying to think of a good idea for a parody. I was like, no, let's just put it in the polka.
The cat's out of the bag.
There
that's
you go.
What it's there for. Yeah. I can't think of anything clever to say. Hey, we'll put it in the polka medley.
It always sounds better in the polka.
Are there going to be new things in the medley on this summer tour?
It's the same set list as last year. We're just it's literally a continuation of the tour. We just stopped for like a half a year, and now we're picking it up
again.
You
took a dinner break, and now
Okay. We're probably going to freshen up the film clips and add a few new things, and you know, kind of tweak that a little bit.
Yeah, tell me a little bit about that, because it seems to me like, especially before the show starts, it's like clips of all these things that formed you. It's a lot of Mad Magazine style kitsch clips mixed with all kinds of weirdness, mixed with clips from your old show and UHF and whatnot. Who's curating that?
I'm doing that. I edit it all on my laptop, Final Cut Pro. I put it all together, and that becomes like the show.
Now, is that just because you don't want to pay for an editor, or because you figure you're the guy to do it?
Both. I'm cheap, and I am the guy that's creating it, so why not do it myself? Yeah, I mean, because I'm the guy that would know best what I think works well, and you know, it's all about pacing, and it becomes a science. It's down to the second now, because we know exactly how many seconds it takes to do any particular costume change, so that's how long the clips are. So there's not really a whole lot of room for error backstage.
Oh, that's awesome. And that's a thing where you don't need to worry about rights, because you're not selling this.
Well,
do you?
I guess.
I don't want to get you in trouble.
I mean,
here,
legally,
so.
Again, it's probably a gray area. I mean, if, you know, we're doing it until somebody tells us we can't do it. Let me put it that way.
Okay. Let's erase this whole section. We don't want anybody. Any opportunity. You know, listen, in the polka medley, have you ever considered the Star Trek theme?
No, I've heard it
as a polka. How would you?
Well, I guess you could. I mean, I could do a polka version of that, but I usually do pop songs in the medley.
Right, let me rephrase that. I want you to do a polka.
Okay,
version. It was me making a request. Speaking of making a request, by the way, on your tour, in addition to just going, which is enough, especially, you know, if you have kids and you got to get a babysitter and all that, Mr. Goss. But listen, if you want, you can be a VIP for the tour.
That's true. They sell VIP tickets through WeirdAl.com.
Tell me what that means when you get to be a VIP.
I think that might be a little different this year as well. There's a master of propaganda who like conducts like a party before the show. I think they have various contests. I think singing contests and this year is new. They're going to have like a little mini Weird Al museum. I lent them a bunch of stuff from my archives, like the original Eat It jacket and the outfit that I was wearing on the cover of Even Worse and a bunch of stuff like that. And that's going to be like part of a display for the VIPs.
So for people that are really, and this is actually similar to Star Trek, they have on the conventions, they have like little museums of the props and whatnot. So you're speaking my language here. But for somebody who's a really big fan, for a few bucks more, we can go, but we can pay a few dollars more and we get to have a little party before.
Yeah.
You know what it is? It would be like at a more traditional rock concert, a little tailgating, but Weird Al fans are a little more elevated than that. They're mm-hmm. not going to be drinking beer they want to do something. They want to have a singing contest. They want to meet their friends. Probably a lot of people know each other from the Facebook and the Twitter and whatnot, and they get to engage.
And afterwards, they get to hang out with me and the guys from the 501st.
So then they get their money back because they don't know. No, so they go, wait a second. We didn't want to meet the guy. We just wanted to talk about him. No, because there's actually two levels of VIP-ness, I've been told.
That sounds right.
So, you know, if you get the ticket, then they get to take a picture with you.
Yeah.
And you're a nice guy. I mean, they're gonna be happy to meet you.
I hope.
Well, that's going to be encouraging to you because you get to go to all these cities. You're going around the country and you get to meet your fans. Amazing. They probably, some of them, make little gifts and give them to
they
you.
They do, yeah.
Not that I'm encouraged, not that you feel that's, you know, they don't have to.
But no, that's always, absolutely. No, it's not required.
No, it's not required. I mean, just a handshake is good, but
we give you an offering.
If you can remember off the top of your head, like from last year's tour, what were some of the things that fans said, we baked this for you or we sewed this for you?
I only accept baked goods from people I know.
Right.
But
you don't have to eat it. But
But people like art, pieces of art, like they'll do like very nice drawings and made some Weird Al comic books. And just various things that mean a lot to them, and they want to share it with me. Or if they have their own, CD they wanted me to hear. Then, so I get a lot of that from.
That's got to be incredibly gratifying to see a comic book that somebody made of you.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. I mean, I always pack an extra suitcase, and the suitcase is just to bring home all the stuff that people.
Right, because you're on this bus, crisscrossing the country.
Yeah, I literally live on the bus. I don't even check into the hotel rooms. I probably shouldn't admit to that, but I just stay on the bus.
Is that really?
Yeah, because it's comfy back there. I mean, I've got my internet and I've got my satellite TV and I've got all my stuff. And like, why move into a Motel 6? So I'm just like, I'm fine here.
But it's a secure parking lot, though.
Yeah.
I want to make sure you're safe.
Yeah. You know? And we're heavily armed at all times. I just want to stress that.
So that's great. So you're on the bus. You just the show in Toledo just ended. You're driving into Cincinnati. The lights dim. The driver says, "Good night, Al." And then he closes the door on you. And then you you say, "Oh, there was that cool guy who gave me that drawing. I'm going to take a look at the comic book now."
And spent all night reading the Weird Al comics.
That's awesome. That's cool. Well, I like that story. I like picturing. I'm going to be picturing that from you this
just
summer.
Just visualize that.
That's good. Now, listen, I know that we've got we've had you for a considerable amount of time. Do you have somewhere to be next? Or?
Just dinner, so no rush.
What style of food are you going to be having this evening?
I don't even know.
Classic America. You're in New York. I mean, we're recording. You can have anything you want.
Some New York cuisine.
Some New York. It's rat.
You're gonna have some pizza rat.
Some pizza rat.
Okay.
Have pizza and a rat. No, cool. Well, listen, I don't want to take up too much of your time, and I really thank you for coming on here. Now, the thing is this. As I mentioned, you're one of the first guests we've had on the show. This is a show about embracing new listeners to Star Trek, to pop culture, to all these things that we love. If we can get sort of a benediction, a blessing from you, Weird Al, who I hold in such high regard, on the show as we leave Space Dock, to explore, you know, strange new worlds, you know, the whole thing. A blessing from you.
Absolutely.
Would mean so much.
I give you my full blessing to explore strange new worlds.
Awesome. Okay.
Well, and listen, to split infinitives to boldly go.
That's how it works. That's how it works. All right. Well, listen, thanks again so much. I really appreciate it. And you got a lot of exciting things happening this summer. So we'll see you on the road.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Cool. All right. Thank you.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Welcome back to Engage.
Engage.
The official Star Trek podcast with your host, Jordan Hoffman.
You are, after all, irrational.
And we are back in the present. And that was our conversation with Weird Al Yankovic from a few weeks ago. I really had a fun time. You could hear that I was having a goofy good time with him. He's a gent. He's a first class gent. He came at the end of a very long day. You know, he was he's about to kick off this tour, you know, 70, however many dates it was. And he had done press for two straight days, and we were probably the last one that he did, because, you know, our show was still in its embryonic form, still in Space Dock, and it was like, can you do one more? And he's like, yes, I will. And that was great. So listen, thank you for listening to the first episode of Engage, the official Star Trek podcast. What I want you to do, I have to give you some homework assignments. You have to subscribe, rate, and review this show in that order. Subscribe, rate, and review on iTunes. Have you done that yet?
Affirmative.
Great. You subscribed, rated, and reviewed?
Accomplished.
Excellent.
Standing by.
Oh, okay. Standing by. All right, great. You're going to subscribe, rate, and review. You're going to check out the play.it/Star Trek is where you're going to come back. Subscribe, rate, and review on iTunes. You are going to tweet at us. For God's sakes, tweet. You want to tweet with the Engage Pod hashtag. Hashtag Engage Pod. Tweet with hashtag Engage Pod. Tweet at me, Jay Hoffman. I'm just me. Just tweet at me. Tell me what you want me to do on the next show, at Jay Hoffman. And become a fan on Facebook. Facebook.com/Engage the official Star Trek podcast. Facebook.com/Engage the official Star Trek podcast. All one word, or just Google it and it'll show up. Leave us some notes on iTunes. Leave us some notes on Facebook. Tell us what you want to hear. Tell us what you don't want to hear. Tell us what you're liking. Tell us what you're not liking. Tell us how you're feeling. And we are going to talk to you again real soon.